How do you find light in a dark season of life? Accomplished author, life coach, and speaker Clarence Schuler has firsthand experience in what it is like to journey through the darkness brought on by depression and anxiety. Clarence shares his journey along with personal conversations with his counselor, Monique Gadson, in his new book, Finding Hope in a Dark Place. And good morning, Clarence.
Good morning, Deb. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you this morning?
I'm good. A little tired, but good.
Okay. Well, good. We're so glad that you could join us, Clarence. Uh-huh. And so let's talk a little bit about depression. And we're seeing that on the rise, especially among men and among African-Americans as well. So let's talk a little bit about that. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, I think for men, you know, most of our lives we're socialized not to share our emotions, how we feel. Mm-hmm. And I think women have a big advantage over us in regards to that. And so we keep it in. That can create stress. That can actually give us health problems in regards to that. I think African-Americans or any minority in any culture, you have to deal with the majority culture, and that can create all kinds of stress as well, particularly among men who are trying to provide for their families. So that just kind of spikes things up. And so more than ever, we've had young African-American males committing suicide that, you know, at a higher rate than ever before.
Wow. So, Clarence, let's talk about your story a little bit. What was your journey like through this?
Well, being an African-American and a Christ follower, I started working for some Christian organizations. And one, you know, it was really difficult after I was being the first one. Mm-hmm. But a few years ago, back in 2017, I was negotiating with a large Christian organization that was a multi-billion-dollar company. Did I say multi-billion dollars? I wanted to get to, yeah. Anyway, I was going to do a diversity training, and everything seemed to be going well. The CEO loved it, blah, blah, blah. But 10 days later, I got a phone call saying that they're going to another direction, and I was just really devastated. Usually, I don't count my chickens to be hatched, but when that did, it would just really devastate me. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, so I began to spiral into a depression. I didn't want to hear the cliches. I kind of wanted to be left alone.
Wow. So what was the next step for you then? I mean, how did you finally determine, I really need help here?
Well, a couple things. I have a newsletter. I have about 50-something people who pray for my ministry. I kind of put in between the lines that the job didn't come through and I was a little disappointed. That's all I said. But one of the prayer warriors is a counselor, Monique, Dr. Monique. And she, so she called me and said, hey, you want to talk about it? And I said, no. And then I knew I needed some help, and I kind of prayed about it, and God said, you need a counselor. So I asked him to counsel me. I counsel other people, and he didn't respond. When he didn't respond, I realized I needed help. So I called her back and said, I'm kind of raw. I'm not using profanity, but I'm raw, and I need help. And if the offer's still on the table, will you help me? And she did. And the first thing she said was, when you're in a dark place, God's with you in that dark place, so your dark place can be a holy place. Mm-hmm. And that really blew me away because I was so self-absorbed, I forgot that God was with me. Mm. And I was a little frustrated with it, but when she said that, it sort of gave me hope. So that was the turning point for me. So I had to admit that I needed help and then reach out for that help.
Yeah. So I think there's probably a lot of folks, Clarence, that are in that same place where they maybe don't realize that they need to seek some help because they're just kind of trudging through all of the darkness that's going on in their lives, especially in their past. And I think that's one thing that gets us in trouble, wouldn't you agree, is that dealing with pulling all the things back up in our past?
Well, yeah, you know, if we let the pain of our past hold us or capture us, then it can paralyze or punish our future and our present, and it just keeps us from going forward. And so we can become a prisoner of the past. We need to learn from the past, but not be held captive by the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important. And what helped me, you know, like you guys, I read a verse in Isaiah 45:3, which is kind of the foundation of the book, and it says, I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I would do this so you may know that I'm the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. And so when I read that, I never thought about God dealing with my emotions. But here he says that in my dark place, there's treasures and secret riches. So that means I can spend time in the darkness, not self-pity, but I don't have to fake being fine. Mm-hmm. And that really helped me a lot, that I could tell people I'm struggling. If they ask me if they say, are you okay? And I say, well, no, not right now. And, you know, not to get self-pity, but I could work and see what God's trying to teach me in the midst of my darkness. And that was really helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Clarence, what were some of those treasures that you discovered in that dark place?
Well, I began to just one of the gifts of depression, if there's such a thing, is I got to know myself better.
Mm.
I think one thing that I was trying to do with the account, had I gotten that account, or some other things, I was using that to validate my worth.
Mm.
And Jesus Christ is validated. I don't need to impress other people. So that helped me a lot. That was really important.
Mm-hmm.
I think another thing is I began to realize what some of my triggers were in regards to my depression. I think I stopped beating myself up, and I learned to forgive myself. And like Ken said earlier, I let go of the past so I can live in the present and the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was really important. I think I became a little more sensitive to people. And I think, you probably can't tell, but I think I'm a little bit nicer to people. So those are some things that I get. Some of the things I learned, or I'm learning through my depression as I work through my depression.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So, Clarence, you talk about 5 different tips that you can offer to help somebody have today be a good day. What are some of those tips? And maybe you covered some of them already.
Well, I think one is just simply view yourself the way God does. And God views us. He loves us. When he looks at us, the Hebrew says, one verse says, he goes, wow, because he's given us DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So we have value. We have purpose. We have a destiny. So we need to focus on self-worth, not self-worship. I think another thing, too, is really important is that we want to keep short accounts with people, mm-hmm. whether they're family, keep at work or whatever. If at all possible, keep short accounts. If we can, have our finances in order. If that's all, get out of debt if we can, and working toward those things. So what you have is as little stress as possible. And maybe the biggest thing, I got this from Gary Chapman. He said, if we live each day as though it's our last day, then each day can be our best day.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you want to live a day with no regrets.
Mm.
And so, I think those are some of the really key things that are really important. And probably another thing is that when we bless other people without seeking anything in return,
mm-hmm.
that physiologically blesses us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we're also glorifying God. So if I'm trying to do that. So those are some of the things I think if we put in place can help us to make every day can be our best day.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, Clarence, well, how would you speak to someone this morning that is just starting the day really low and kind of in the middle of that dark space and really not feeling any hope in their life or seeing any bright spot ahead? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say they're not necessarily in sin or bad because they're feeling that way. They're not abnormal because they feel that way. In fact, it might be somewhat normal.
Mm-hmm.
But there is hope because of Christ. And because Christ loves us, we need to focus not on our feelings, but on fact. And, if we line how we think with the Word of God, and if we line up our actions with the Word of God, our emotions will follow. So we can actually get ourselves unstuck. And so I think those things can, I'd encourage someone, but also that verse I read earlier in Isaiah 45:3, they're hidden treasures and secret riches in a different place. So I would just simply say, God, I don't feel great, but what are you trying to teach me why I don't feel great?
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to distinguish between self-pity, or am I just really struggling emotionally? Am mm-hmm. I disappointed, or has my disappointment really been prolonged and now I'm really depressed? It's been 3 or 4 months, and I'm not seeing to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, in our book, we actually tell you how to find a good biblical counselor.
Yeah, that's so important.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, I tell you what, if you or someone you know of is going through a dark time, a desert experience in your life, this might be a great resource for you. Finding Hope in a Dark Place. And Clarence Schuler is our guest this morning. And we appreciate you, Clarence. Thank you for taking the time to visit with us.
Well, Ken and Deb, thanks so much for having me. You guys have a blessed day.
You as well, brother.